All right. Jax, could you take the remote and turn the volume on these TVs down? That thing's hooked to my computers for the videos, just how we had to do it this morning. And every email I get is going to ding through these TVs. And that's what just happened. And so I thought, let's just turn that off. So there we go. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And going to talk about, I entitled this, The Power of a Godly Mother. And a lot of different things I think we could have, or I could have titled it. But as I will say this morning, as I try to describe the lady that is here in the text, she's just a godly woman and caring for her family. She's definitely not in an ideal situation and having to work with the, sort of the plight that she has and what's going on in her life. But she exhibits some great godly characteristics as a mother. So if you have 2 Kings 4, if you'll stand with me, we'll read a few verses, and then I'll get right back into the message today. 2 Kings 4, and look at verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity we have to come into your house today. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. And we understand that this is a wonderful day to celebrate our moms and the ladies in our life that have helped us and encouraged us and cared for us. But Lord, we also want to recognize it's the Lord's Day. And so we want to bring honor and praise to your name and lift you up because it's you, Lord, who's given us the gift of mothers and these ladies in our lives. And so, Lord, we purpose to do both today, but certainly, Lord, we want you to be pleased with what we do. I ask that you'd help me in the time of preaching, help me to have the words to say, and may we be hearing from the Holy Spirit today, and may your word do a work in our hearts. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. D.L. Moody used to tell the story of a man who came to him and said, when the Mexican War began, I wanted to enlist. My mother, seeing I was resolved, said if I became a Christian, I might go. She pleaded and prayed that I might become a Christian, but I wouldn't. I said when the war was over, I would become a Christian, but not until then. That's a really bad plan, by the way. Just a bad plan. I'll just interject. I don't know if Brother Moody interjected, but I will. All her pleading was in vain, and at last, when I was going away, she took out a watch and said, My son, your father left this to me when he died. Take it, and I want you to remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother will be praying for you. Then she gave me her Bible, marked out some passages, and put a few different references in the flyleaf. I took the watch and the Bible just because my mother gave them to me. I never intended to read the Bible. I went off to Mexico, and one day on a long, weary march, I took out my watch. It was 12 o'clock. I had been gone for 4 months, but I remembered that my mother at that hour was praying for me. Something prompted me to ask the officer to relieve me for a little while, and I stepped behind a tree out on those plains of Mexico and cried to the God of my mother to save me. God saved him, and after the Mexican War was ended, he said, I have enlisted again to see if I can do any good for my master's cause. We may not know until we get to heaven the great impact of godly praying mothers. as I was kind of thinking this week, I don't believe that there is another group of people on earth who pray with such consistency, with such heart, and with such burden as mothers. I know every day of my life, if you're not praying for me, my mom is. And if she is, but even to add to that, my grandmother is. And they let me know that they are because they are praying ladies. And I believe so much of the good and so much of the things that we experience are answered prayers of moms. Moms never give up on praying. Moms never give up on their children. And so praying mothers are essential. Theodore Roosevelt said praying mothers are one of America's greatest assets. Abraham Lincoln said, no one is poor who had a godly mother. Charles Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England. And Charles Spurgeon said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. And so today I want to recognize and celebrate the value and the beauty of moms. As I read this text today to you, and as I studied it this week, I really struggled with how to title the message. What character trait do we talk about with this mom here? Because she was prayerful, she was caring, she was a provider, she was faithful, she was a protector, and she was full of faith. And so I thought, well, how could we better describe her than just to say that she was a godly woman? She was just godly. She exhibited characteristics of godliness in her life. In another place in the Bible, we can see the characteristics of a godly woman is in Proverbs 31. If you'll take your Bibles and just turn over to Proverbs 31, just real quick, I just want to show you a thing or two that Proverbs 31 describes about a godly mother. Proverbs 31 and verse 1 is very interesting. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So the reason that we have this prophecy is because it was taught to this man by his mother. Now look down to verse 10 with me. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rupees? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I want you to really focus in on these next few verses. Those verses I read showed how she's managing the household and loving her family and providing in all these different ways. But notice what it says in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Notice this, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. What's interesting about this Proverbs 31 woman is that it lists all these different things that she's doing and all the ways in which she's providing for her family and caring for her family. And certainly we can see in our moms and the ladies that have been important in our life, important in shaping us, they would have all of those or some of those or most of those characteristics perhaps. But what it all boils down to at the end, it has to do with the lady that will fear the Lord. It says there in verse number 30 that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she is to be praised. And so as we find our place back in 2 Kings chapter 4, I believe we see a similar woman, one who has many great characteristics and qualities to be sought after. We don't have a whole lot of information about this woman, but we know that she's caring for her household, and we know that she's a godly woman, and her husband was a godly man. And so we see that she may have some of these characteristics, but what it all boils down to is we have a woman here that fears the Lord. She was simply a godly woman. In verse 1, we see that there's evidence of a godly household. The wives, notice this, she was of a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet. So her husband was a prophet. She refers to her husband as thy servant. So she's talking to Elisha, and she refers to her husband as thy servant. So apparently her husband knew Elisha. They worked together, ministered together, and had some contact with one another. And also she refers to her husband's character, speaking to Elisha. She says, thou knowest that thy servant, my husband, did fear the Lord. So we have here evidence of a godly household. We have a husband who was a prophet and worked or ministered alongside Elisha in some way. And we know that the woman's testimony and Elisha's testimony of this man and family would be that this family was one that feared the Lord. So we could say this, that salvation has changed this household. Salvation has come to this household and changed it. And so we have this godly family unit here, but it wasn't ideal by the time we're reading this. It wasn't that everything was perfect. In fact, the husband had passed away. And we find in verse number 2 that, or in verse number 1 rather, that the husband has passed away, and there's a creditor coming to take her two sons. So she has a real problem, and she's struggling. She's struggling that she can't pay the debt that she now owes. And so we infer a little bit of what may have happened. Perhaps her husband passing away and bringing in the income or whatever has left the family, and now they're impoverished. And the last thing that they have, according to the scriptures, is a pot of oil in their house. I preached on contentment in the Sunday school hour this morning. And when I start thinking about this message, it really lets us know just how well or how good we have it, just how well off we have. If you got more than a pot of oil in your house this morning, you got more than this lady did. I mean, that's what she was down to. She had a pot of oil in her house. And not only that, she had a great debt that she could not pay. And we don't know the source of the debt, but it's inferred there that it has to do with her husband's passing. And so we have what's going to happen here. The creditor is going to come and take her two sons and take them as bondservants to work off the debt. Now, this would have been fairly customary in those days, and we find some even Old Testament scriptures about this sort of thing, that these young men wouldn't have been slaves forever, but they would have been bondservants. They would have been workers, and they would go, and they would work until the debt was paid. But the issue we have in the passage here is that these were probably very young boys, too young to care for their mother, because mom's the one that's sort of doing all the worrying about the debt and that sort of thing. And so just imagine for a second, just put yourself in this lady's shoes for just a second, that her husband has passed away. There's this debt that she can't pay. She's impoverished down to her last pot of oil, which was probably cooking oil that she would then use to prepare a meal. I mean, she's impoverished down to that. And not only that, there's people coming to take her boys, and she's going to be left with nothing. And so for just a moment, try to just understand the amount of pressure that she must be under, the amount of stress and that just the agony of the situation, that someone is coming to take these boys. Someone is coming to collect a debt, and she doesn't have any means to pay the debt, and she's under great pressure. You know, in times of life when we're under great pressure, maybe you've been in a tight spot before where it just seems like the weight of the world was upon you and various problems were sort of piling up in your life. Those are the times when you get pressed, something's going to come out. Do you know that? When you get pressed, something is going to come out. It's just the fact of life that when pressure and stress is put on us, what is on the inside will come out. Jesus referred to this in Luke chapter number 6 when he says, a good tree bringeth forth, let me read what Jesus said instead of messing it up. He said this, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. In short, when we are pressed, what is inside is coming out. Now, here's what's interesting about this lady, this godly lady. When she was in this situation and when she was pressed, what came out was godly character. And that speaks to her and who she was. And so we see several things in the passage that speak well of this lady. First of all, she had a mother's love. She had a mother's love. We find her faced with this problem and this concern and this debt and the impoverished state she was in. And her first thought, her first priority was of her children. She didn't want to lose them, but more than that, she didn't want them to be taken as servants to grow up paying the debt and to grow up outside of her household where she loses influence on them. And so her love is seen in that she's looking for some way to keep her sons there. I have found this to be true of mothers everywhere. It just seems like aside from God, in a godly woman's life, a godly mother's life, there's no more important relationship than those children. Those children are always on her heart. They're always on her mind. They're always really her main concern. I know in my own life, the grandmothers and the mother that I have sacrificed for me time and time and time again. And I'm just going to tell you that if your mom's anything like my mom, if there was only so much food at the table, she'd be the last one to eat. It's just the way moms are. They put others first and they provide for others first. And that was what we see of this lady here. Selfless and sacrificial and wanting to fix this problem for her sons. And you know, whenever we have an issue or a problem, it says a lot about us where we go to fix it. She went straight to Elisha. She went to the man of God. She went right where she could know, where she could find God's answer. So don't miss that when she was faced with trouble, she went to God. Ladies, today, I'll just tell you, when you're faced with trouble in your family, the best place to go is to God. I mean, she had other recourse. She could have done other things. She could have done nothing. She could have just said, well, boys, go be bond servants and work this off. I mean, she could have just done nothing and said, it is what it is. But she knew God was her hope and that God could do better than that. She could have maybe tried to borrow from someone else. We'd call that robbing Peter to pay Paul. I don't know how Peter and Paul got involved in that whole thing, but something like that, we could say, you know, she could just go somewhere else. In our vernacular today, well, we'll just get another credit card to pay that debt off. And the debt that we had on that card, we just move it over. And we understand we're not fixing any problems, right? We're just delaying the inevitable. Well, she didn't do that. She couldn't have opened up a credit account. She could have stolen. She could have done something like that. She could have done even more sinful things to come up with the money. But all those things would go against her character. Listen, she could have turned to God in anger. When things happen in our life, difficulties and circumstances that are beyond our control, we have a choice to go to God for help or to go to God in anger. She could have done that. She could have gone to the place where everyone solves everyone's problems, Facebook. She could have got on there and just railed about it. She couldn't have done that. This was years ago, folks. But you understand, she could have gone to her friends. She could have talked elsewhere. She went straight to God. Godly mothers go straight to God. She cried to Elisha, the man of God, where she could find God's answer. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then we see the faith of this mother. The situation was out of her control. There was nothing she could do. She had a pot of oil. So she can't pay the debt. She can't do anything about the debt. So Elisha comes to her and gives her this really crazy plan to pay the debt. I mean, just really out there plan to pay the debt. But what we see is she doesn't even hesitate. She just obeys and she exhibits faith. So she had this pot of oil, and here's the plan. Elisha says, go and borrow vessels of your neighbors. He says, borrow not a few. I know King James is hard to understand. That means borrow a lot. Go and get a lot of, that was a joke, by the way, the King James is not hard to understand. I'm worried, I just had bad humor, because you laughed at the video, but you don't laugh for me. So I got to work, I'm going to work on my jokes a little bit. But no. It means borrow not a few, borrow a lot of pots, borrow a lot of vessels, borrow empty vessels. Just go send your sons out, get as many as you can. And what's interesting about what's going to happen is the amount of oil that she's going to get is only going to be limited by her faith here. Have you ever thought about that? The amount of oil she's going to get, if she goes out and she gets five pots, she's going to end up with five pots of oil. But if she goes out and gets 50 pots or 100 pots, or if she has a lot of friends that own pots, maybe even more pots than that, however many she gets, however many vessels that she gets, that's how much oil. Her faith is only limited here, or the amount of blessing God's going to bless her with is only limited by her own faith. And so he says, go out and borrow, and don't borrow just a few. He says, then take all those vessels and get inside the house and shut the door and pour out into those vessels. Now you and I mean, I'm just saying, I try to be such a logical thinker. I just try to be like, okay, Elisha, if I pour this oil into this pot, then I'm now holding what? An empty pot. Elisha, this plan doesn't make any sense. And he says, you know, I mean, this conversation is all just in my mind because it's not here in the scripture. I don't even think she questioned it. But I think in my mind, I would have been like, how is this going to help? I just borrowed a bunch of empty pots. But he says, go in there and start pouring. And as you fill up this vessel, you can turn and fill up this vessel and this vessel. And lo and behold, she started filling up all these vessels, and that oil just kept coming out of that pot. An amazing miracle that Elisha did, where this oil just keeps going and keeps going. And it's not running out. And she's looking at her son, bring more pots. Bring more pots. I got to fill up more. I still got oil in the barrel here. And she keeps pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. Now, I don't think that it's necessarily tied to mothers only here. But listen, if you do what God says for you to do, mom, and you just keep pouring out, God will keep filling you up. And you can keep pouring out, and he'll fill you up. And he can keep pouring. You just keep pouring out. I see this over and over again in my life where it just seems like, how does that person keep pouring and keep pouring, keep investing and keep giving themselves and keep sacrificing? And God just continuously refills them, and they do it again. This should be true in all of our lives, but especially that of a mother. And so she's pouring out. What I find interesting here, and I don't know, this message has several points. Most of my messages just kind of have one point, but just several things I want to touch on. I want you to see in verse 2 that God used what she had. This is important because we tend to focus on what we can't do because of what we don't have. Okay? We tend to focus on what we can't do because of what we don't have. God doesn't ever talk to us about what we don't have. Do you know that? He just says, what do you have? Notice what Elisha said to her. Well, what do you have? Okay, I don't know. What do you want me to do? What do you have? What is in that? What hast thou in the house? She says, all I got is this pot of oil. Basically, she's saying, I got nothing. Elisha's like, that's perfect. We'll use that. That's what we'll use. You know, we waste a lot of time worrying about what we don't have, what we can't do, what we're unsure about. And God is just simply asking us, what do you have? He just needs to know he just wants to use what we have. You say, well, we don't have much. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, we sang the song, Little Is Much, when God is in it. That's not just a cute song that we sing every now and then. That's absolutely true. The Bible tells us in multiple places, but especially in 1 Corinthians, he tells us he doesn't use the big flashy things of the world to accomplish his purpose. He uses the small things. Mom, I just think some moms think, you know, this job I have, this being a mom and caring for my family and raising these kids, and I mean, it's just a small thing that I have. It's enormous if you let God use it. Your role in your children's lives and your husband's life and in the life of your home and in the life of all that you touch and affect is enormous if you'll just let God use you. It's not about what we don't. Well, I don't have the resources for that. God owns all the resources, all of them. He owns all the resources. So he's not fretting about resource. He just wants us to use what we have. He just needs this woman's willingness. He just needs this woman's faith. He just needs this woman's obedience. Go into the house, get that pot of oil, go and borrow from your neighbors and start filling up pots, and I will do a great work. Jesus said in Matthew 17, verse 20, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I know you all know this, but a mustard seed is incredibly tiny. It's very small. It's one of the smallest of all the seeds. But Jesus said, because you might say, I just don't have a whole lot of faith. I don't have the faith that this lady had. Well, apparently all you need is just a tiny seed of faith. God can do great things. Her mountain that day was impossible. I got to pay this debt. I don't have anything to pay it. All I've got is a pot of oil. I'm just trying to feed these kids. And Elisha, what do I do? Elisha says, what do you have? Nothing. I just have this pot. Perfect. Do you have a little bit of faith to mix with that? Because if you do, God can do some great things. Then we see the mom, you know, just trying to pick out different things about the mom here. She had this godly testimony. She cared and loved her family. She had faith because she goes in and she just does what Elisha tells her to do. But what I find interesting is that she involves her children in the process. In verse 5 and 6, it says that she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. A godly mother will train her children. Sometimes she'll try to train her husband too, but we're just going to focus on the children part. She'll train her children. She involved the boys in the process. Now, learning and training are different. Okay? I can watch videos. One time I took a group of youth kids skiing. And this is when we all lived in Texas. So, you know, snow is a very foreign object to us. And so no one's good at skiing or anything like that. And we had gone skiing before, and I lived in Minnesota for a few years, so I knew a little bit about it. And these two boys said, man, we want to go snowboarding. And I said, that's fine, but I'm just going to tell you, for most people, skiing is easier. You can get it a little bit quicker. You'll have more fun. And they were like, no. They've been watching Sean White doing 360s and barrel rolls or whatever he does. And they're like, well, we're going snowboarding. And I was like, you guys don't know what you're doing. You know, you're from West Texas. You don't know how to snowboard. You're going to die. So don't do that. And we watched some YouTube videos. That's what they told me. We watched some YouTube videos. We know how to do this. And I laughed. And then I shut up. And I was like, okay, boys, it's your parents' money you're spending. You can rent skis and you can rent snowboards. I never once saw them kids standing up the whole day. They slid on their backs down the mountain. They were crying. They had bruises. And I mean, they never did get it down. And I just kept asking them, maybe y'all should watch another YouTube video about that. You know, I think one more video, you'll have it. You know what? You can watch a YouTube video and someone can tell you all day long how you're supposed to do stuff. You need training. You need time on the snowboard. You need training. And so what she's doing here is she's involving her kids. She's training them. You know, we're told to not just teach our kids, but train up a child in the way that they should go. You know what that means? We involve them in the process that God's, we involve them in what's going on in our life. We involve them in our devotions. We involve them in serving the Lord. We need to make sure they're an active part of what we are doing as parents. Train them. If you just tell them their whole life what they're supposed to do, you're not training them. Let them do it. You say, well, if they do it, they'll mess up. Where have you learned in your life most? From your mistakes. Guess what? I'm a pastor with three kids. Not any of them is perfect. We tried on the third one. It wasn't perfect either. So we're like, well, that's all for us. No perfect children here. And if I allow them to get out there and do some things, and I'm not saying just send them to the wolves of the world. I'm just saying allow them to be a part of what we're doing as a family. Allow them to make a few mistakes. And then train them. Teach them. This lady said, boys, I need y'all to go get some pots. Mom, what do you need pots for? Elisha told me if we just get a bunch of pots, bring into the house a bunch of vessels, that God's going to do something. He's going to fill these things up. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. We're getting into the oil business, I guess. I don't know. But go get some pots. She went and sent her sons. They went and got them. You know that did something to those boys when they came back and they gave a pot to their mom and their mom poured into that thing and it just filled all the way to the brim. And then she said, give me another one, son. And so he gave her another one and she poured in. You know that did something to those boys? It increased their faith. What do you think would happen the next time those boys had a problem in their life? Where are they going to go? They're going to go to the one who helped them fill up those pots one day. They're going to say, Mom, show me that if I go to God with my problem, He knows how to solve it. That's exactly where they're going to go one day because they were trained. They were able to hold a handle on those pots. It's okay, Mom, to tell a young boy or girl, hey, you go do the dishes, especially on Mother's Day. It's okay. My wife's been teaching our kids how to do laundry. And I just hope they don't do mine. Because, I don't want my shirts pink and my, shirts too small and all that. That might be the problem with my shirts is they've been doing them. They're too tight. Could be other things, but I usually try to blame the kids when I can. I've watched these kids go down there and they're dumping stuff in the washing machine. They're using heavy equipment. And I'm like, man, they're going to mess something up. But you know what my wife's taught me? They can do a whole lot more than you think they can. And that's training. And I know it's something that's simple like just doing some laundry, but man, maybe one of these days they'll know how to do their own laundry. Train them to read the Bible. Hey, son, you read these verses. Train them to pray. Don't always do all the praying for them. Train them to pray. When they come to church, give them something to do. Train them. Let them be a part. Let them have some ownership. A lot of examples we could give. Lastly, God provided for this mother. Verse number 7. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go. Look back at verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. Apparently they borrowed not a few vessels, because they had enough to pay the debt and then live on for the rest of their lives. God came through in a miraculous way. He used what this widow woman had. She exhibited some faith and he provided. In Proverbs 31, I read it earlier, but we've talked a little bit about what a godly mother does and the power of the godly mother, but God honors a godly mother. In Proverbs 31, I read, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Here's something we should do. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Can I just pause for a second? Kids? Husbands? The Bible commands us to be our wives' cheerleader. To praise them, to call her blessed, to be an encouragement. I find too many times that us, and I'm preaching to me. I could turn around, but then I'd still be looking away. So I need a mirror or something. But we're really good at just laying on our wives stuff to do and not so much praise. But the Bible tells, rise up and call her blessed. Praise her. You know, it'd be a good thing to let her know those meals that she's cooking all the time are a blessing. It'd be a good thing to let her know the things that she's doing to show her appreciation. You know, we all stress, guys, we all stress about what to get mom on Mother's Day. What to get, once we're married and we have kids, then we really stress. Because, listen, I can cut out a craft thing and give to my mom. She's going to love it. But, you know, now I'm an adult. And so, like, as a kid, it was real easy to get Mother's Day gifts. Because literally, go outside and just grab some grass and put it in a cup and go to mom and say, Mom, I got you this. They're going to love it because they love you. But when you're, you know, a husband, you're like, what do I get my wife? I don't know what to get her. You know, there's no real gift you can get. Everything seems like a little, like, you know, you give her cash. It's like, well, I mean, I don't know. Right. It's just, you're worth more than this, but here you go. What do you get her? Well, what do you get her? Get her flowers, and flowers are great. They die, though. You know what she wants? She wants your appreciation. She wants your love. She wants to know that the things that she's doing are important and helpful. That's what she wants. Now, get her the cash, too. But she does, that's what she wants. To rise up and call her blessed, to praise her. That lady is a gift of God in your life. Notice also it says in Proverbs 31, give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Again, today of all days, we need to honor, be thankful, and praise God for our godly mothers. And so, mothers, I hope you'll have a wonderful Mother's Day. And we are so thankful. Home's just not the same without mom. And so we're thankful that God's put you in our lives. And we hope that you have a very blessed day. Lord, we're thankful to be in your house. And I know the message is so much different because we're just really trying to take some time to thank you for our moms and to give them the praise that they deserve for sacrificially caring for us. And while I know there's so many different situations, family dynamics, and Lord, life is not always so cut and clean. It's sometimes a little messy, but God, I just know you have grace to help us in all those situations. I also know that no matter our situation, there are people in our lives that have affected us like a mom. And in every lady's life here today, they will have influence on others in that way. And so we just pray that you'd help each mom here. We pray that you'd give them the grace that it takes and the faith that it takes to fulfill their role in the household. And we pray that you'd help us to be thankful for them and honor them and give them what they really do, which is our love and our admiration. We pray that you'd bless in our time of invitation and the rest of the day following. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll